Did you know that St. Augustine, the great St. Augustine, once said, take care of your body as if it was going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. Joining us live this morning is Dr. Brian Donahue to talk about why we should take care of our bodies and also to share some simple steps that we can all take to stay healthy. Dr. Brian Donahue is a Catholic, a father of four beautiful children. He's a board-certified emergency care physician with over 25 years' experience practicing in the Chicago area. Dr. Donahue graduated with honors from the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Chicago. Dr. Donahue recently came here and spoke to our Relevant Radio employees at our new Lincolnshire headquarters, and he was so outstanding that day that we invited him to share his expertise with you, our Relevant Radio family. Dr. Donahue, thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
John, thanks for having me.
Why is it so important to take care of the one body that God gave us?
John, we have to remember, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, living temples of the Holy Spirit. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, life and physical health, they're precious gifts that are entrusted to us. So we need to take care of them. And this affects not only ourselves, but it takes into account the needs of others and the common good, which is important. We have to remember, when we're taking care of ourselves, that the direction of our lives, and of course, the others that are in our lives, is based off of making good or bad decisions. Everything's based off of decisions. And in that same way, we can make good decisions about our health. And some of them are very simple, but they require some fortitude.
How important is sleep to our bodies?
Sleep's very important. From some of the studies that have been out through Harvard and so forth, just on average, an adult 18 to 60 years old or so should be getting about 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. The thing we need to know about sleep is this. The number one cause of sleep deprivation is voluntary choices. Voluntary choices. So we are the ones that are standing in our own way of sleeping. And what does that mean? These are the simple things. The internet at night, the television, conversations that can wait. And these are all things that prevent us from doing what we should be doing. The recommendation always is regular time to bed, regular time to awaken. And I know, John, a lot of these things seem simple, almost eye rollers at times for us. However, we have to be very good at examining ourselves, just like we do in our faith, to be able to make sure we are making the right decisions for when we go to sleep and when we're not. One last thing on sleep that's important to know is that all the stimulus that we go through, whether it's the internet, the television, and so forth, we're bombarded with it at times, releases dopamine. And this dopamine within us becomes habitual, and our body craves it. So we have to make active decisions to be able to stay on track in terms of sleep.
I know of people who literally go to bed with their iPhone in their ear. It doesn't sound, based on what you're saying, that's such a good idea if you want to get a good night's sleep.
No, absolutely not. I think we all can admit that a lack of sleep leads to irritability. We have lack of patience. We have decreased cognitive ability. It's interesting how we very much are in tune with our kids and trying to shape and mold them and put out rules for them. The number one for kids is no phones or electronics in their room. However, sometimes we're not so honest with ourselves about adhering to those same rules.
What about people who take a nap? Any thoughts on taking a nap for those of us who get up super early?
I think sleep in general is going to be beneficial. A nap is never meant to be something that is destructive. I think it's going to be very helpful. Obviously, you have to weigh in the equation of, is this nap preventing me from getting good sleep at night? And those are things that there's no one size that fits all. Everyone's going to have to figure that out. But if you're sleeping for a significant amount of time in the day, which keeps you up late at night, then you need to reconsider.
But the other one is obviously exercise. This is like basic 101, but it's really important that we at least try to get some kind of exercise on a regular basis.
Absolutely. The American Heart Association recommendation, so everyone knows, is that for an adult, you need to get 150 minutes per week of what we call just moderate activity. Moderate activity could be anything from a brisk walk to a bike ride, something that's getting our heart rate up more than the standard. So 150 minutes per week is equivalent of 30 minutes a day, five times a week. Now, alternatively, they state that you could get 75 minutes per week, which is half of that, of doing intense activity, really an aerobic type workout where you're maybe going for a jog or a run, a brisk bike ride, or some significant activity in the gym, elliptical, so forth. So 150 at moderate or 75 minutes of intense. And some of these things we can do in a very simple way by simply remember a body in motion stays in motion. So we try to be adherent to less time sitting. If we have a job that's at a desk, we need to get up and move around. We can take the stairs. It's funny, my wife and I, we joke when we're driving around and everyone's the same way. You see a really good parking spot, as we call it, princess parking. But maybe when we park in a large lot, maybe parking in the back and walking in. You know, getting these kind of habits, I think, are also useful to understanding that we need to stay in motion.
Maybe taking the stairs instead of the elevator when you're only going a few floors?
Yeah, everything's based off of little decisions, and we can make a lot of the little decisions add up to a big decision in the end.
What about joining a health club, for example? You don't need to spend a lot of money to get exercise in. Some people obviously join a health club and they spend a lot of cash to be a member, but you can get a lot done right in your own home or right in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. I think that's the overall thought, John. Sometimes we feel that, hey, if I join this or I buy this online, it's going to fix me. And the reality is we need to be mindful of what our goals are of movement and exercise. And that, I think, like you said, you can do in the house. Sometimes you could do it at work. You can do it while you're watching your kids at games and maybe walk around the perimeter. There's a lot of simple ways to be able to increase our calorie burning and get our muscles moving.
Are you a fan of treadmills? Is that something that you're in favor of?
The reality is everyone's trying to cut a corner in terms of what is most convenient. And having those at home, yeah, it can save a lot of time as opposed to driving to a gym and so forth. For the people that are really trying to find a way, a niche in their time to be able to get some more aerobic activity. So I think any of those, a stationary bike or a treadmill or an elliptical, are all good. Everyone's going to have to recognize what their capabilities are. People with bad knees might not be wanting a treadmill and a bike, or a simple elliptical might be a little bit more beneficial for them.
What about doing just light weights, some kind of exercise to build up and to keep that muscle tone? I've actually talked to guys in their 70s that are still lifting weights and are still pretty strong.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The body can do a lot of things that we sometimes forget, and we maybe use that moniker of, oh, I'm getting old, so therefore I can't do these things. And that's not the truth. The body's muscle helps support the joints. And as long as we can start or continue to build up muscle, it's going to support our joints. The American Heart Association says at least twice a week in muscle training. These are, once again, ways that can keep our bodies in motion.
We talked about sleep. We talked a little bit about the importance of exercise. Dr. Donahue, let's talk about diet. Can you give us your take on the importance of diet in this day and age?
Absolutely. So what's really interesting is I think we're just scratching the surface in terms of understanding a little bit more of how diets can affect us. And one of the biggest areas is inflammation and these chronic inflammatory processes that happen dependent on what we're eating. So we know that a poor diet can lead to weight gain. And they've proven that weight gain leads to heart disease, strokes, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, and so forth. It also leads to generalized inflammatory processes, which can also lead towards different kinds of cancers and abdominal conditions and fatigue. It also leads to plaque in our heart. So that's our baseline of why we need to diet. How do we do it? I'm more of a fan of saying, let's stick to the simple and do it really well. So number one recommendation for controlling your diet is decreasing sugar and carbs. Carbs, we have to understand, they're a form of sugar. They're a long-acting form of sugar, okay? So how do we do that? one of the best ways is whatever you're drinking, change to water. A lot of people ask, is coffee okay? Yeah, but you can't keep drinking coffee all day long. So we do everything in moderation. But they find that if we can cut out that simple sugar, which we find in a lot of juices and pops and so forth, and change that to water, it's one of the best ways to start decreasing that sugar constant load that we put. And then if you looked at all of the different kind of diets, they're all based off of decreasing carbs, being rice, pasta, bread, potato, all the good things, right? But we need to decrease those, because the longer we are on carbs, they start to store up as fat in our body. Decrease the amounts. And that seems like another one of those very obvious eye-rolling kind of comments, but we need to decide to put less on the plate and stay with that. And if that's too hard, we decrease the size of the plate.
These are all very doable things. When you talked about changing to water instead of drinking lemonade, I actually started drinking a lot more water since I heard you first make that recommendation to our Relevant Radio employees here in Lincolnshire. The other one, decrease the carbs, it's another basic. There's a reason why Dr. Atkins became so famous in the 80s and 90s.
That's absolutely right. Again, they're all decisions. And what I always say is, if we want to lose weight and become more healthy, we have to actually have a plan. And we have to always be examining ourselves. Are we adhering to the plan? Because a goal without a plan is a dream, John.
Absolutely. It is nothing more than a dream. Doctor, there's so much more that we could talk about. We're going to have to leave it there. Got to go. But thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us here. Appreciate your words of wisdom.
I appreciate having me on. It's an honor, and keep doing all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Dr. Donahue. Dr. Brian Donahue, a Catholic board-certified emergency care physician in the Chicago area.